Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. Most of you, as you came in, you should have received one of these cards. And again, we are not going to take your fingerprints, and we're not going to ask you to put your fingerprints on them before you leave. But this is for you, and we're going to talk throughout this today. Today's message, identity theft. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But then here's where it gets good. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Jesus replied. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your scripture. And Lord, I pray that today, everything that would come out of my mouth would be straight from you. Father God, that you would help each one of us in this room to be changed, not because of me, but because of you and your word today. Lord, let not one of us leave this place the same as we've come. Lord, take your word and rise it up inside of us. In your name we pray, amen. Identity theft is a real thing. For those of you who are like, yeah, Pastor Chris, thanks for kind of coming in and scaring us about identity theft. I really wasn't thinking about it. Let me get online and check my stuff. And some of you are pulling out your phones, checking your things. But anyways, identity theft, it is taking of your personal information so that that person can gain either credit, financial status. It is reported that in 2012, over $21 billion was taken by fraudsters through identity theft. Every 3 seconds, think about it, every 3 seconds, someone falls victim to identity theft. You say, okay, thank you, Pastor Chris. Now I'm going to go home and check out some things. I'm going to go home and check my accounts, check everything. But in a room this size, I would begin to guess or think that if I were to ask, and I'm not asking you to raise your hands because I don't really need you to or want you to, there's probably some of us in this room that have had identity theft, some kind of fraud against our name, against who we are. My challenge to you, my challenge to me, is that same thing happens in our spiritual life. We get robbed, we get our identity stolen. But here's the catch. I want to challenge you right now in this moment that it is not your identity that is in question. It is your identity IQ. Let that sink in. Because it's not your identity that's going to be messed with or tampered with. It's actually the IQ of it. There's programs out like LifeLock and other programs, and I'm not a commercial for them, but there's other programs out there that help you secure all of your things. And it notifies you when activity's about to happen. And so the question is, it's not really necessarily your identity, but it's being aware of who your identity or what your identity is. And so today, as we look at this scripture, as we go throughout this passage, I want to talk to you today about the identity and about our identity IQ. There's a funny story, wasn't funny then, but it's funny now that I look back on it. I was a teenager. And I remember this night pretty well because I remember going to bed and I was in bed. It was probably about 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. And all of a sudden I hear a knock on the door. You hear a knock that late at the door, it's not usually good. Then I proceed to hear, Christopher! That's my name. And that's my mama calling my name. My mom was downstairs and she was doing some things around the house and she went to open the door. Two gentlemen that now make me look small still to this day. Imagine I'm a teenager at that point. So I was a little smaller, a little thinner, a little smaller. I'll just leave it there. So I was a little smaller. These guys were huge. Standing in my living room, when my mom opened the door to see who it was, they pushed the door open. I hear the scream of, "Christopher, it's partly you might be in trouble. It's partly terrified." And I'm trying to figure out as I'm running down the steps what's going on. And I come down the steps and I see these guys. And I'm like, "Oh, what's going on here?" And come to find out, these were two Bell's bondsmen that came into my house and were ready to take me to the Eastern Shore in the back of their SUV. And they said, "Christopher Krager." I said, "Oh, that's not my middle name." They said, "Do you have ID?" Pulled out an ID, showed them. Sorry, we had the wrong person. They leave. Now, knowing what I know now, I probably would have got a little information about them. I would have done some things differently. But at that moment, I'm standing there and I'm going, "They're gone. I'm happy." Your identity is always being in question. Those guys were standing there, and they were questioning if I was the right person. The reality is, I knew who I was then. They could have tried to tell me who I was or who I wasn't, but the bottom line, I knew who I was. Today, if we are truly in this place going to have identity IQ increased, you and I must understand and answer that question that Jesus asked. He said, "Who do you say I am?" So my question for every one of us in this place, as I look across this room, is, who is God to you? Who is God to you? In this verse, Simon Peter answered, and I love it because Jesus' response to him was, "This wasn't revealed to you by flesh and blood. This is revealed by what?" It said, "My Father in heaven." There's some things about you. There's some things about God that's only going to be revealed through God. There are some things that you have to understand will never be revealed until you are in fasting and praying or until you are in the presence of God. It's going to be revealed to you then. God has revealed it. If we are going to have our identity IQ increase, we must know who God is. Knowing and believing in God's character as revealed by his names in Scripture is a great protection against the enemy's lies. Let me explain that. It's more than just saying God. It's starting to use his names that are given throughout Scripture. His names are given throughout Scripture so that we could have them. Every name that's given in Scripture, it was given in a circumstance. It was given in a situation that God showed up and was that for them. For instance, some of you in this place, you understand and you know some of the names of God. But let me read a verse from Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge." We are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. The implication there is powerful. God is telling you and I that we have an intimate chance. We have a chance to have an intimate knowledge of who God is, revealed through his nature, his characters, and his name. But it's your choice. It's my choice if we're going to do that. I shared with the students today earlier. I said in Sunday school, I said, "You know what? The reality is for me, I cannot only study God when I'm preparing a message. I cannot only study God when I'm preparing for a small group or a lesson or a teaching. If that's my only time with God, I'm missing it." Same thing for everyone in this room. If we are only studying so that we can prove to someone or make a case, we're missing it. Because God wants to reveal his nature, his character through his names. Jehovah Shalom, Lord of peace. Some of you in this place, you need some peace in your life. You're going through some stuff and you need, instead of just calling the name of God, you need to call Jehovah Shalom. El Shaddai, all powerful and all sufficient. Jehovah Jireh, that's the one we know, because we want God to provide. But it's not just he provides, it's the Lord that sees and provides. The Lord sees where you're at. It's not just, oh, Lord, I'm praying to you, meet this need. It's no, the Lord has already saw your need. Let the Lord be your Jehovah Jireh. Let the Lord be your Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. Let him be Emmanuel, God with us. Is God with you? Is he, are you proclaiming the names of God? Because if we don't know the names of God, it's in my own conviction that how can we call on God? If we don't know the names of God, how can we call on him? How many of you have ever walked up to someone, and I'm guilty, so if you're in this place, I apologize, and your name has slipped my mind. Hey, bud. How many of us, we've done that. Raise your hand if you're honest. Hey, bud, how you doing? What's up, bro? What's up, buddy? We would do those things. They're generalities. Today, I want to challenge you. Like Pastor's been talking about, living beyond just, oh my goodness, my mind just went totally blank. Beyond normal. That was his previous series. This is, yes, better than average. Wow. It slipped my mind. It was like, whoom, sorry. You guys are, I'm just transparent. I'm sorry, but it just went right through. Apologize for that. But if we are going to be better than average, if we're going to live beyond where we are right now, we need to stop getting general with God. Stop being general. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it now. I need one young man to come here for an illustration for me, please. One young man, quickly. Come to the stage. Go ahead, Sasha. I was going to call your name, but I didn't want to embarrass you. Sasha is a great help to me on many occasions. Here's the thing I want us to understand. I'm going to give Sasha my suit jacket.
Can I wear it?
Yes, you can put it on. Here's the reality. Sasha could get away with this for certain things. The reality is, it doesn't fit him perfectly. I handed it down to him. Some of us in this place, we're having to hand it down God. We have a handed down God where we're getting by because we can say the right things. We can look a certain way. We can feel a certain thing. We know how to say it. We know how to respond. But it's not custom fit to you. God wants you to walk into his tailor shop and have a custom fit faith just for you. He wants something that you can say, you know what, God, I'm going through this. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah my provider. You are everything, and I'm not going to just take the custom fit of my parents, of my grandparents, of my aunt, my uncle, of whoever it is. I am now going to walk into your tailor shop and say, God, customize who I am and who you want me to be. And allow God to fit you for who he has created you to be. Thank you, Sasha. Give it up for Sasha. Because the reality is, every one of us in this room, we've had telemarketers call our house. Lately, the past couple of times, it's kind of funny. The kids laugh when I answer the phone, and because no one calls my house phone, really. No one calls my house phone. They call my cell phone. And so what happens is I pick up the phone and I'm like, hello, it's a great day at the Krager house. We just so happen to sit down for dinner. How can I help you? Click. Don't hear anything else. Don't hear anything else. My other line that I use with them is, oh, wow, this sounds really great. I'm busy right now. Can you call me the second Tuesday of next week? And I leave that sink in for them. They hang up the phone and then they're probably thinking, wow, there's not two Tuesdays in the week. In case you didn't get that. But the thing is, there's nothing worse than someone calling or addressing you and not knowing your name. Let's know the names of God. There's the purpose for them. He has created them and laid them throughout Scripture for us to grab hold of. Increase your identity IQ by knowing God and his names. When you and I understand who we are, then we can understand what God has created us to do. But the other reality is that we will never understand who we are until we understand who he is. We must understand who God is. Because the reality is, if we get God wrong, we get it all wrong. If we get God wrong, we get it all wrong. We slip, we mess up there. We must not only begin to search scripture, search our prayer life, and be in a time of worship so that we can understand and have God reveal himself to us, but we also need to understand who we are. Because here's the reality, Satan cannot touch who you are, but he touches who you think you are. He can't touch who you are, but he attacks who you think you are. Every one of us in this room, our identity, if we name the name of Jesus, it's secure. Our identity's found in him. And so Satan can't mess with that. He can't touch it. He can't steal it. He can't take it away. So what he does is he tries to get you to think something different about yourself. He tries to get you down. He tries to get you upset. But come back at him with this, Genesis chapter 1, verse 21. So God created mankind in his image. And in the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God created you. You know why Satan gets so mad, so tripped up? It's this right here. In Luke chapter 10, verse 18, he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Satan had his chance. He had his chance in glory. But he was thrown out of it to the ground. You were created out of the dust of the earth, and God breathed into you. You are an expression of God's worship, and you need to understand that. And when we understand who we are and that Satan can't take it or can't destroy it or can't mess with it, then I think we'll start walking in it because God breathed life into you. You are an expression of God's worship. God breathed life into you. It doesn't really matter who we think we are sometimes. Because you can see and you can read scripture and then you go out and you live and you think the way you do. Who you are does not determine how you act, but who you think you are will always determine how you act. Who you think you are drives your actions. It's not who you really are. It's not who God has created you to be that drives your actions all the time. It's what you're thinking about yourself. So today, increase your ID, IQ. In James chapter 3, verse 9, it says, with tongues we praise the Lord and our Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's image. Think about that. We've had our identity taken because we are willing to praise God in one moment and then slip into another moment and curse the very creation of him. My challenge to all of us here is that we wouldn't fall into that, that we wouldn't fall victim to that. Because God has so much more for us. God has created so much for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Guys, you're a new creation. It says the old has gone, and here is the new. Every one of us that are in Christ, every one of us that are in God, we are new. But yet we still walk and live like the old. I want to encourage you because the reality is there's many of us in this place. We're walking in God and we're trusting God and we believe in God. And I want to challenge you. Everyone that's encouraged and being an encouragement to others, continue doing it. Continue walking. Sometimes we think that we just come to church, we just understand scripture, we just read who God is when we're facing trouble. I want to challenge you, if you're at your highest point, you're at your greatest victory, there's still more to God. It doesn't matter if you're at your lowest of lows, there's still more of God. The reality is every one of us in this room got a card today. And on the front, it talked about your fingerprints and it talked about your identity of who you are. But on the back, it says my true identity. Keep that, place that somewhere you're gonna see it. Understand where your identity comes from and who you are. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. We are a child of God in John 1, 12. We are part of the true vine in John chapter 15, verse 1. We are joint heirs with Christ in Romans 8, 7. We are God's workmanship in Ephesians 10 or 2:10. An expression of God, Colossians 3, 4. Do you understand who you are? You are those things in God and in Christ because he has created you to be those things. And remember, if we begin to walk around living these things, Satan won't touch us. He can't touch us, but he will try. He will try to get you down. He will try to attack you. Because remember, Satan can't touch your true identity, but he does attack who you think you are. And when he attacks that, we need to understand that in John chapter 10:10, it says a thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. Different camps, different worlds. God has set up an establishment that you have life and life more abundantly. Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. The other day I heard or read this illustration and it was talking about this farmer and he had this watermelon field and there was a couple nights in a row he noticed there were some watermelons taken. And so he thought he was clever. And he thought he was pretty witty. So he took a sign out, posted it in the middle of the watermelon field, and said, one of these watermelons are poisoned. Thought he was smart. He left. Next couple nights, nothing was gone. He's like, yes, I won. Then about the third night or so, he goes out. He walks out to his patch and all the watermelons are there, but his sign has been changed. And it says, the one was crossed out, now has the word all on it. Not just one are poisoned, but all. The reality of that story is Satan can't touch who you are, but he's going to try to deceive you to think you're corrupt. Deceive you to think that you're not who God's created you to be and who God said you were in Scripture. Satan is only out to deceive you. Satan can never outpower God, so he tries to deceive you, tries to lie. He can't outpower God, and he never will, so he deceives you. But what you and I need to understand in this place that Scripture, why I've talked about Scripture, why I've talked about the names of God, doctrine serves, and the Scriptures serve as a filter for the soul. When you have sound doctrine, when you have the Scriptures in your mind and in your heart, it filters out the junk that would try to penetrate your soul. Everyone knows how coffee filters work, even if you don't like coffee. The other day in the office, it was kind of funny because there was a coffee filter in, but what had happened was the coffee filter had fallen over at the top. And so then all the water and all the coffee grounds begin to flow kind of over the top and down into the pot. And what happened there is the filter got out of alignment. Sometimes we can get out of alignment with where God wants us and God has us. We get the Scriptures out of alignment that is a filter for our soul. And so let God's word be a filter for your soul, a filter for your mind, a filter for everything that comes through your life. The The reality is in this scripture, we see it, and it's awesome, and I want to refer back to it, is Peter was called three different things in this scripture. If you look at the Greek, he was called Petros, which is small rock. Later on, he was called Petra, which is called a massive rock or a rocky cliff. And then later on in scripture, God calls him a stumbling block. Three different stones, however, he's still the rock. But then it also in that scripture, after he was called the massive rock in the rocky cliff, it talks about God building his church upon him. Because what happened was he went from a small rock of understanding who God was. Then he began to have God reveal who he was and who God was through his heavenly Father. And once he was revealed, he became that massive rock in that foundation that the church could be built on. But then later on, he became the stumbling block. I want to challenge you, anything unguarded, an unguarded strength becomes a double weakness. Guard your strengths in God. There are strengths all across this room. I see people that you have gifts, you have talents that God is developing. God has already developed in some of you to teach and to do small groups and to do children's work, to do nurseries, to work in the youth, to do so many different things, ushers and greeters. There are so many things that God has created in you as strengths. But here's the reality. If we don't guard that strength and guard who God has created us to be and guard who God says we are, it will become our weakness. We not only need to know who God is, we not only need to know who we are in God, but we must respond. The challenge for all of us in this room is the response part. Because it said in the scripture, it was revealed, but then there was a response that needed to take place. I want to challenge you, it's not what you claim that matters, it's what you commit to. We can claim certain things, but it's what you commit to. In this place, what are we committing to? Where is our identity found? What are we committing to? Don't confess something you won't commit to. And remember, Satan can't touch you. Satan will always give you buying power. But he will collect the interest. He's always going to give you buying power. You could see the favor of God in your life even if you're not following God. I said that wrong. You could see favor and blessings in your life even if you're not following God. But he's going to give you buying power. But guess what? He's going to collect on that someday. Our challenge is that we don't allow Satan's buying power to trick us. If we want to be a private Christian, we need to be ready for the invisible blessings, which means we won't really see them. It reminds me how many tech-savvy people in here, they love tech, they love computers, they love iPhones, they love droids, whatever. You're a tech person. Anyone? Couple? Here's the thing. Many of us, we treat God like an app we can download and use whenever we want, when God needs to be our operating system that we function in and through. Because here's the thing, if I don't want an app anymore, or my children no longer like that game, what do? I delete it. So we start adding to our devices, we start adding to our Christian life the things that we want of God. But God has so much more for you and for me than just hand-picked things. He wants to be our operating system that we function and that we live in and through. Because if you and I allow God to be our operating system, we're going to see change. We're going to see things happen in our lives. There was one day that this guy was applying. Actually, it was more than one day. It was for 4 years. He was applying for jobs. And he had yet to get one. Couldn't understand why I'd been applying, I had been trying, I'd went to the interviews, things go well, things go right, he felt. But he never got that call back. To where then the man began to just decrease in his mind of who he thought he was and who he was, and things just began to come into his life, and where this is a true story where this man ended up becoming homeless. And going day to day, not knowing why he couldn't get a job or why he couldn't have ends meet. Till that day that really made him upset and frustrated when he was outraged because he found out that someone else had committed crimes and theft and given his name. And when that had happened, those things went onto his record and onto his account. But the day that he began to find those things out, he began to make restoration for those things because they weren't his. And so I tell you all that to tell you this. Guys, it is not necessarily your identity that's under question. It's your IQ of who God has created you to be. It is who God is in you. When you wake up in the morning, who is God? The real question that Jesus asked Peter was, who do you think I am? And the question for every one of us in this room is, who do we think God is? Because if people who believe in Jesus only knew who they were, they would do what they were supposed to do and be who they were supposed to be.
If you'd like to learn more, please contact our church office, 703-548-0339.